Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution, with your host, Michael B.
And this is the Truth Zone, coming to you live from North Dallas, Texas. A beautiful, beautiful day today. A very troubling, troubling subject that has to be discussed today. I've talked about this. I've talked about the elites and the common denominators with these people, why the governments of Europe, and yes, the United States, until proven otherwise, why Islam is protected, and really the bigger picture is why Christianity is attacked more than any other religion now in the world. I know that more Muslims get killed by more Muslims. I understand that. But that's in-house fighting, if you will. I'm talking about outside groups attacking Christianity. Government. ISIS. Other militant groups, atheists, people on social media, movies, everywhere. Because Christ is the way and the truth and the light. And these people want to extinguish that light. It is crucial to extinguish Jesus Christ from our hearts. And at the end of the show, I'm going to play this amazing song by Citizen Way called Bulletproof. You listen to those words. I urge you to go to YouTube and read the lyrics, because, you know, it's singing. It's hard to get every word. And it really speaks to my heart that no matter what takes place on this earthly realm, they can't have my soul. They can't have my heart. And they will never make me denounce the cross. Now, don't think that all of Christendom is shiny white and innocent. There is a very, very troubling article from themirror.co.uk, courtesy of InfoWars, no, courtesy rather, of the Drudge Report. And, you know, this is a history of pedophilia, paganism, Satanism within the Church of Rome, and of course other high-end religious sects. We've seen other pastors exposed over the years. Do you notice how it's always the top rungs of what we call the establishment? It's always the establishment. And that could be the establishment in the spiritual realm, in the political realm, in the social realm, the entertainment realm. They all seem to tie in. Now, I have two audio clips. They're going to be the bulk of the show. I will cut in for commentary here and there, but mostly this is going to be on autopilot. You won't hear much from me in between. And I'll have a little closing statement and, of course, that Bulletproof song. And that's the show today. Because I'm going to let these audio clips speak for themselves. And I thank my Facebook friend, John Pittman, for his great work. He is really devoted to exposing evil in the world on many subjects. And he supplies me with a lot of material. And I am very thankful for that. So we're going to go right in, because I don't want to go too far over the hour mark. So there could be some spillover. We'll see. So anyway, let's get right to it. This is called Exposed: Hollywood Occult, Satanic Rituals, and Dark Secrets of Freemasonry.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order. A new world order.
I just got to jump in real quick. That was September 11th, 1991, by then President George Herbert Walker Bush. 10 years exactly to the day, we had September 11th, 2001, with his son, George W. Bush, Bush 43, at the helm. And that was not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen.
Child sex trafficking.
The deep state is trying to destroy Donald Trump's presidency.
Loose the battle plans of heaven.
It's all about control.
Broadcasting live to the world now, it's the Weekend Vigilante, Sheila Zielinski.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this video from the Weekend Vigilante, Sheila Zielinski. This video is entitled Illuminati Mind Control, Hollywood Pedophilia, and Bizarre Freemasonic Occultic Rituals. There's a handful. Now, I've already chronicled the Illuminati hypersexualization of children and the Disney pedophilia connection, the Freemason / Disney occult, all that connection I made in a video called The Disney Deception. I've linked that in the description, so I will not be reintroducing that in this particular video, but do check that out. Again, Disney Deception, I've linked it in there in the description. So where I want to start off here is with some really bizarre antics of Katy Perry. Of course, admitting to being an Illuminati slave in Bon Appetit. Allegedly, Perry publicly begged to join the Illuminati in 2014, and her new music video is drenched in occult symbology. Now, before we get into that, Katy Perry, obviously she's the ideal of the modern pop star, young, beautiful, controversial, and completely controlled by the music industry Illuminati. And it's no surprise that her sick, twisted, disgusting, I could barely watch it video, Bon Appetit, is infused with very bizarre ritualistic Illuminati symbology. Oddly, Perry made some very public overtures about the Illuminati in 2014 when she said in a Rolling Stone article, "Hey, if the Illuminati exists, I would like to be invited. I see all that SH blank blank. I see all that you know what, and I'm like, come on, let me in. I want to be in the club." So now fast forward 3 years and Katy Perry is basically demonic Play-Doh. She's like occult clay. She's been at the forefront of the elite's agenda for years, selling her soul to the industry. Now, she released Chained to the Rhythm, a song that heavily promotes the elite's agenda. She introduced this song at the 2017 Grammy Awards with, I might add, a very symbolic live performance. But it was her statements to Ryan Seacrest that raised eyebrows before the show that really revealed her status as a mind control slave. Now, she's heavily controlled by the occult elite, and she is now the chosen celebrity, you could say, to make bizarre headlines, stir up controversy, and basically annoy us with bizarre, mind-numbing antics. She's at the center of this all. She is the selected pawn chosen to undergo the degrading, the entire dehumanization process of being an elite slave. Of course, Katy Perry is walking in the footsteps of the likes of Britney Spears, Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus, Amanda Bynes, and Kanye West, just to name a few.
It's extremely creepy.
Where mass media has a blast covering the strange and humiliating strings of events that they're involved in. And then right on cue, Bon Appetit comes out and confirms Katy Perry's status, industry mind control slave. Now, what's interesting in Bon Appetit, the video, and now you got to remember here, she's cooked by chefs and offered as a meal to a party of elite guests. It directly alludes to bizarre rituals the occult elite practice behind closed doors and in plain sight. Now, it's one of those videos that leave viewers with an unpleasant aftertaste, and I think a gut feeling in general. Anybody that watches it thinks something's terribly wrong here. Gee, I wonder if it's due to the overt celebration of cannibalism in the video, but more on cannibalism later. The video actually depicts, I'm not going to get too in-depth in the video just for the sake of my own stomach, but the video depicts Perry undergoing a painful process of torture, exploitation, and dehumanization. And then she's used to lure others into that system. I mean, with lines like, "Got me spread like a buffet." If that alone wasn't degenerate enough for the young viewers of the world, the video turns everything into ritualistic, cannibalistic, bizarro ritualistic event. She's not being treated like a human being, and literally, I'm talking literally, she is being used for pleasure, treated like a literal piece of meat. No value, no soul, physically abused. It's as if she's become dissociated from reality under mind control by her handlers, this monarch mind control. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll get into that a little more later. The video, and like I said, I'm not going to get into specifics, but I'm just going to tell you that she's, in one scene, she's being thrown in flour while wearing a dress very reminiscent of Marilyn Monroe's iconic dress, Bridget Bardot. Perry is also wearing Monroe-like blonde hair in the scene. Now, Marilyn Monroe and Bridget Bardot are examples of beta sex kitten prototyped controlled slaves as well. We know that elites not only rule the music industry, but of course, the film industry as well. That's why I call it Hollyweird. A couple of scenes thrown in...
Bridget Bardot has been arrested in France many times for speaking out against the Islamification of France. Now, as far as the other stuff that's being talked about now, you know, I've read a lot of things, a lot of different materials, and so this is really nothing new to me, I'll tell you right now. But Brigitte Bardot has been an activist in really trying to save France, and she's been arrested for so-called hate speech. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Boiling water, hair is chopped up, symbolizing a new persona being created. And then her tongue is symbolically flambéed to represent the secret silence that is required. And what is so bizarre about the video is the table scene directly mirrors real-life events organized by one of the most powerful and influential occultists alive today in both entertainment and politics, Marina Abramović. Here are just a few of the stars that hang out with Marina Abramović, including none other than a cult high priestess herself, Lady Gaga, or Lady Gag Me, as I call her, who, let's not forget her bizarre comments to Jimmy Kimmel, where she openly admits she just, you know, prays to Lucifer, no big deal.
And I'm like, if you don't get this right now, I swear to Lucifer.
Here we see them at an event that took place at the Watermill Center in 2013. In these pictures, you can see them standing before a woman lying at what looks like a pool of blood.
As we know, Lady Gaga pushed this just born that way fake agenda of homosexuality being something taking place through science, through nature, which is absolutely incorrect. There is no scientific evidence that you're born a homosexual, okay? There's just none. It's halfway through 2017. We would have had it already, okay? So and transgenderism and homosexuality, they're all tied in to satanic ritual. So there's no mistake here that the speaker has named Lady Gaga as someone significant in the satanic realm.
And what a guest do? Oh, they scoop the blood up with spoons to eat it up. The event was dubbed Devil's Heaven. You cannot make this stuff up. In another Marina Abramović event,
similar things was found in those Podesta emails that were given to WikiLeaks and then exposed to the public. And I forgot the exact term of what they called the eating of the blood. You'd have to Google that. But these satanic rituals do take place. And accusations have been made. I'm going to keep it that way. And, you know, the Clintons and their people have been implicated by many sources that they partake in these satanic rituals. And hence, is it any surprise the Clinton connection to Jeffrey Epstein, a convicted pedophile? Convicted, but got a very light sentence, by the way. Because when you're in the club, you're protected.
Guests wear lab coats as they partake in cannibalism. Mock cannibalism? Well, you be the judge. Of course, in another event, bizarro world it is, a cake in the likeness of Debbie Harry, Blondie, is cut up and eaten by guests, including guest Debbie Harry. Marina Abramović likes mock cannibalism. If that's what they do in public events, what are they doing behind closed doors? Abramović, there's many scenes where Abramović is standing before models with their innards exposed. It just on and on it goes. This kind of stuff, this is not just the exclusive domain of Abramović, who, by the way, is a big proponent of Thelema. And, of course, ironically, the spirit cooking-themed Bon Appetit video is also very closely aligned with Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta, who we now know is invited to these occult...
See, here it comes. Just what I said. These were emails were exposed. This is what that was, the spirit cooking.
Spirit cooking dinners by Marina Abramović. Leaked emails reveal that he was invited to many dinners by her. This is John David Podesta, the chairman of the 2016 Hillary Clinton presidential campaign. And guess who he previously served as chief of staff? President Clinton. Oh, and what else did he do in his impressive bio? He was a counselor to President Barack Obama. Marina also is known for painting on walls instructions coded in classic occult matter. Spirit cooking actually refers to a sacrament in the religion of Thelema, which was founded by Aleister Crowley, who I'll talk more about in a minute. Now, what is she painting with, you say? You don't even want to know. It is a concoction straight from Hell's Kitchen. What does it contain? Menstrual blood, breast milk, urine, and sperm. That's the paint mix. Now, why would an occultist, especially the artist to the stars, Marina Abramović, why would she be in direct and friendly contact with people at the highest levels of power? Because they're all part of it. She's considered to be the grandmother of performance art. But you know what? Most of her work takes place in private settings where she conducts high-level witchcraft magic ritual. She's a very powerful figure in pop culture, and she is greatly influential in Hollywood, the fashion world, and of course the music industry. On this cover of Vogue Ukraine, Marina Abramović represents the stronghold of occultists in the fashion world. And here we see her holding up a goat's head by the horns, a classic way of representing the drawing of magical power from the Baphomet. Here we see her in the New Yorker, the serpent hiding one eye, the perfect way to represent being a pawn of the occult elite. Isn't it interesting that Marina's Twitter name is at Abramović, M666. You starting to see the dots connecting here? One of the things that came out in email leaks was an email from August 29, 2008. A senior government staffer writes to Hillary Clinton, "With fingers crossed, the old rabbit's foot, out of the box in the attic, I will be sacrificing a chicken in the backyard to Moloch." Thanks to WikiLeaks, Hillary Clinton's email archive containing 30,000 plus emails, free to search, by the way, we now have more concrete proof that Hillary Clinton and other globalist elites have occultic ties. In fact, it's said that Hillary Clinton herself is a high-level witch who's frequented covens in California for the past two decades. Come on, guys. Nobody randomly uses Moloch in a conversation. Most people don't even know what Moloch is. But Bohemian Grove and that cast of characters, that ilk, that miscreant that flies out to...
Thanks goes out to Alex Jones and his crew who exposed Bohemian Grove. That took a lot of guts. Honestly, Alex Jones of Infowars.com, who you can listen to right after this show, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. on Sundays, all Central Time. That took a lot of guts, exposing Bohemian Grove, which really opened up the doors to a lot of this literature that we're seeing in video and we're seeing in articles, revealing this satanic, sick, evil cult.
2,700-acre campground deep in Montreal, California. A property which, by the way, belongs to private San Francisco-based men's art club known as the Bohemian Grove. What does it do in mid-July of each year? Yeah, it's coming up. It hosts a two-week occult confab consisting of some of the most prominent men in the world. And what do? Well, they gather around Moloch in a ritualistic sacrifice that is straight out of the pit of hell. And for those that say, it's just an eccentric party. Oh yeah, it's a mishmash of hookers and homosexuals, young male prostitutes who are often underage, which ties back in to the obsession these weirdos have for young boys. As far as I'm concerned, it is Camp Pedogate. And this goes on every July just north of San Francisco, basically the gay capital of America. Isn't that lovely? So what is Moloch, the biblical Canaanite god associated with child sacrifice? What is this deity that's referred to in Jeremiah 32:35? And also they built the high places of Baal. Demon gods Baal and Moloch? What does that have to do with anything? Forget the 40-foot Moloch statue at Bohemian Grove. There's a Moloch / Baal on every street corner in America.
And that wooden obelisk, if you will, call it what you want, is in the shape of an owl, because as we know, in paganism, the owl is the symbol of wisdom. But whose wisdom? It is not wisdom of Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. No. It's the man, it's man's wisdom unleashed when, well, basically man decided, in allegory or not, when man decided to listen to Lucifer, who was a very high archangel, and he fell due to jealousy and want of power. And so that wisdom of the owl is not God's wisdom, it is man's wisdom, which we know that when man takes it upon himself, well, he engages in folly. And the Bible clearly says, do not rely on your own wisdom, but rely on the word of God. But these people symbolize the wisdom of man. And just ask yourselves, how has that worked out for the world?
America, and it's called Planned Parenthood, where it sells baby body parts to the highest bidder. Do you know that aborted fetuses are put in a lot of the stuff that we eat today? Talk about your Frankenfoods. Is that acclimating us to cannibalism, which now is the number one trendy show on Netflix? Thelema, Theosophy, Satanism, Luciferians and the occult, the Freemasons, this is all tied together. And what is the common connection of it all? It is the worship of Satan. It all ties together with even the Kabbalah. And King Solomon really was the poster child for the Kabbalah, really the progenitor of the occult, at least bringing it into the church. Milcom, Moloch, and Chemosh, they were abomination of the Ammonites. The Ammonites are a real...
Solomon is the reason why the nation of Israel fell, the unified nation of Israel, and it was never unified again until, well, until Britain annexed it, and it's not even all of the original Israel, in 1948, as we know. Solomon was given unlimited wisdom because he didn't ask for anything for himself. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for great power. He asked for God's guidance in ruling his people. And for that, he was rewarded mass wisdom. However, Solomon was given one warning. Do not take on foreign wives from the pagan surrounding nations and acquire their rituals. Solomon did not listen. And he built high places to Malcolm, Baal, which Baal is really a generic name like God. See, God is not Jehovah's name. God is a title. Same thing with Baal, but it really means, it's really Lucifer's, you could say, generic name of all evil, if you will, if you want to put it in that context. And so Solomon, his punishment would be cast onto his sons. His sons killed each other, and they ultimately split the kingdom, 10 tribes and 2 tribes, Samaria and Judah. And of course, Israel was never, and still is, never the same again. And, you know, if you want to be a skeptic and say it's not a true story, well, then we can allegorize that. That's fine with me. What that tells me is that when you stay now with the new covenant, you stay in the body of Christ, you align yourself to the cross. Now, yes, you're not going to have a perfect life. Things are going to happen. You're going to get sick. You're going to lose your job. You know, these things are going to happen, right? I mean, it's earth. But you're not going to fall in the way Solomon fell. He lost his legacy. He lost his soul. And your legacy, folks, is not what you leave to your children. Not the bank account, not the cars, not the coin collection, stamp collection, none of that. That's not what you leave. You leave your name. You leave your integrity. You leave your character. Those are what live forever. I was thinking about that this morning. You know, about the founding fathers, 4th of July and all that. You know, a lot of them lost their homes and what have you during the Declaration of Independence, but not all of them did. And when we talk about George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John and Sam Adams, etc., etc., we don't talk about the property that they left to their children. We don't talk about the size of their homes or how many horses they left. What do we talk about when we talk about those men? We talk about their vision. We talk about their integrity. We talk about their faith. We talk about their character. And Solomon forever lost his character. He died really a satanic pagan. He did. And he ruined his family and he ruined the nation of Israel. So in that allegory, when you decide to denounce the cross and go your own way, very rarely is it going to work out well for you. So that's what I take away from the story of Solomon. You bring in Job, and it's the exact opposite, right? He lost everything up front. Jehovah God allowed Satan to persecute him. And I think it's kind of, I have trouble with that, because I have trouble with Job being used as a pawn in the literal sense. In the allegorical sense, it showed that no matter how much Job suffered, he refused to go to Moloch or go to Malcolm. He refused to denounce Jehovah God, and Jehovah restored everything to him sevenfold. Now, you could take that as, no matter how much we suffer here, we hold fast to the cross. We keep our faith. We have something better waiting for us, and I take comfort in that. So that's my little rant. Let me continue with the clip.
A bunch of devils. And of course, Albert Pike in Morals and Dogma attributes King Solomon's evil to the foundation of Freemasonry. Interesting little side note, in the teachings of the Kabbalah, Shekinah is God's female part, sort of like yin and yang, male and female. Now, thank goodness that King Hezekiah destroyed a lot of that stuff, the bronze serpent. And for those of you that don't know, I'll summarize the Kabbalah part by saying this. It's important to understand that it will be the Kabbalah system that gives rise to the Antichrist. The Kabbalah is Satan's gospel. And you know what? The Old Testament prophets were diametrically opposed to this, and they talked about this. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, they thundered against the evil, devilish Antichrist Kabbalah. Sabbatai Sivai and Jacob Frank really were evil personified, and you can do more studies on the Zohar, the Jewish mystics. It's a blend of mysticism and sorcery. It's really witchcraft. It's high-level black magic occult witchcraft is what it is.
What does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say about witchcraft and sorcery? It's in there. It's in there. And you just look at the ramifications. I don't have to tell you. You really look at it. You know what this represents. It is, we are not to rely on the predictions, if you will, from human beings. We are to rely on the fact that God will see us through. Somehow, some way, no matter how bad it gets here on earth, we have something better. And we don't have to rely on the sorceries of man.
Goes right into Thelema, Aleister Crowley, Theosophy, Helena Blavatsky. And it was Walt Disney that had a very close acquaintance, ongoing acquaintance with Anton LaVey, the author of the Satanic Bible and the leader of the Church of Satan. And likewise, Anton LaVey considered Walt Disney to be a very high-level satanic guide. Anton LaVey was the one that revealed that Walt Disney and Petrovich Mussorgsky, the Russian composer who wrote the orchestral tone, the poem Night on Bald Mountain, it was featured in Disney's Fantasia by the same name, a very satanic theme. And again, it wasn't just Fantasia. He often placed satanic themes, occult images in all of his movies. Not just satanic themes, but sexual, satanic, and hidden occult symbolism and imagery. That was his trademark signature. The 666, the number of the beast of Revelation 13, is all throughout his logo. Big fan of Aleister Crowley, who self-identified with that same name, by the way, by calling himself the Megatherion, the great beast. So it's not bad enough that you have this whole cornucopia of witches, wizards, Wiccans, Chaldeans, Baal worshippers, Moloch lovers, if it isn't after-school Satan clubs coming to elementary school. It's not bad enough our kids are getting a steady diet of Katy Perry and Miley Cyrus and all these other occult degenerates. Well, you've got the highest selling books of 2016, 2017, Harry Potter. What was his last book called? Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Potterheads all over the world are being taught to use incantations, hexes, vexes, divination, sorcery, witchcraft. These books are straight out of the pit of hell. And by the way, parents, if you do buy books called A Cursed Child, I'll tell you what, it will come with a little extra. When you introduce your child to witchcraft, that comes with a curse. Because you know what? All this Harry Potter and Walt Disney, all of it is nothing more than candy-coated witchcraft. And look at all the cannibalistic themes everywhere now. Drew Barry. It's not just on Netflix. It's everywhere. And that connects into the pedophilia. They say that young blood, we now know that blood-drinking billionaires harvest the blood of children. It ties into cannibalism. It ties into Pizzagate. They're drinking children's blood. Yeah, that's right. The elite drink the blood of children. Bloodlust, blood sacrifice, cannibalism, ritualistic sacrifices. Look at all the human sacrifice themes we see. Look at what they called a fake human sacrifice filmed at CERN. It was just pranking scientists. This is mainstream headlines. Another satanic ritual to unveil the Gothard train tunnel. We were getting a steady stream of the cult rituals. If it wasn't the Rio Olympics, all the Olympics, it's every Grammy ceremony, every Super Bowl. We've even got an Illuminati card game. Nationwide outbreak of demonic possession. Has a plague of demons, has that been unleashed on America? Demons in the toy chest, the floodgates of hell are all now open. A woman told police she was raped by a Pokemon. And this was a woman that didn't just fall off a turnip truck. This is a professional woman. I talk about that in a documentary I did last year that I've also included in the description called Pokemon Go. Demons in devices, I mean, all these weird things happening. You've got stars, Lucy Liu saying she was raped by demons. Puffy Combs joins in on that one. Oh, Incubus Succubus. Bring me pig blood. A Thai model is possessed by cannibal ghosts during a live TV interview. That is straight out of a scene of the Gadarene Demoniac. And remember the hospital drops abortionist after his demonic rant saying he loves killing babies? And also in light of the world waking up to Hampstead, McMartin, the pedophilia, the Pizzagate, Comet Ping Pong, what we were calling Pedogate, Pizzagate. I was covering this years ago, way before it became Pizzagate. I was covering Pedogate. Ted Gunderson, what he came out with, Sandusky Gate, the Franklin cover-up, the McMartin pedophilia scandal, the Lolita Island Express with Jeffrey Epstein, the billionaire convicted of pedophilia. He received a very soft sentence. His island was rigged with video recorders. Slick Billy Clinton repeatedly flying off to Pervert Island as well. Some of the highest levels of Congress and deep state kingpins have been involved in sex trafficking children. Opal Singleton was on my show, the author of Seduced, The Grooming of America's Teenager, said right on record, and she's a president and CEO of A Million Kids, said on my show that there are over 30 million victims of child sex trafficking worldwide. As of 2013, 1.5 million victims in the United States alone. And as of July 2016, human trafficking has surpassed the illegal sale of drugs. It is a $40 billion a year industry, and it's on the rise in the U.S. That is all 50 states. And you look at Corey Feldman, you look at Elijah Wood, and then there's this total psyop around Ashton Kutcher wearing his Freemason hat, an admitted Kabbalistic practitioner. Interestingly, actually, there was a woman who brought a sexual misconduct suit against the former co-director of the Kabbalah Center that Ashton Kutcher attends. It's a spiritual group whose brand of Jewish mysticism and witchcraft has drawn many celebrity devotees.
Madonna, heavily into that Jewish Kabbalah stuff. Look at her life, folks. Look at her life of just sick, filthy debauchery. I wouldn't touch that broad, never mind a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't touch her with a freaking flagpole. She's disgusting. Just a disgusting individual who threatened to blow up the White House, and yet she walks around with impunity, right? No problem. Oh, she's just a celebrity. It was taken out of context. Right. If any one of us said anything like that, we're history. So, you know, Madonna is into that. And of course, Alex Rodriguez, former New York Yankee, and baseball great, left his wife right after she gave birth to their second daughter and had a thing with Madonna. And I wonder how Alex Rodriguez feels now, tempted by that filth.
Well, the Los Angeles County Superior Court jury found Mr. Berg, known in Hollywood as Rabbi to the Stars, liable for inflicting emotional distress on a former follower. Some real perverted stuff involved in the transcripts that I went through, by the way. And she was awarded just under $200,000 in damages by a jury. By this rabbi who has espoused teachings rooted in metaphysical principles of Jewish belief. Actually, I did a series that I've also linked called Israel, the Kabbalah, and the Antichrist. So this is what Ashton Kutcher, Madonna, Lindsay Lohan, Demi Moore, many others are followers of this Kabbalah Center. And other members are identified by wearing red string wrist bracelets worn as a talisman. Now, critics in mainstream Judaism accuse the Kabbalah movement of corrupting the ancient esoteric mystic traditions of the faith by taking them out of context and repackaging them with a popular New Age bent. Is it weird that Demi Moore attended the Kabbalah blessing of her ex-husband Kutcher and his new wife Mila Kunis and their newborn baby? Yeah, that's right. They had a Kabbalah blessing of their child. Ashton Kutcher admits to be a Freemason.
And just so you know, the Talmud that the Hebrews have says some very, very disgusting things. I mean, very, very disgusting things. Some of it is even worse than the freaking Quran. But you have to remember, the Talmud is not the Hebrew scriptures. From Moses all the way, I think the last book is Malachi, I think. All right, the Talmud is not the Hebrew scriptures. Same thing with many of the, you know, we talk about the occult scriptures of Christianity. They were not included in the Holy Bible for a reason. It wasn't to keep things from us. It was because there was no, I want to say the word credibility, but there was no, I'm just going to say it that way. There was no credibility that those letters or books, whatever you want to call them, were inspired by Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. There was just no foundation for it. So those books were not included. They were offshoot sects that wrote those things. They were not eyewitnesses. And the same thing with the Talmud and this Kabbalah nonsense. It has nothing to do with pure Judaism and the Hebrew scriptures in the Holy Bible.
One of these secret societies that claim to have illumination or light, but they are in fact full of darkness. Their Gnostic teaching inverts the truth, making Satan the god and God, Jehovah God of the Bible, the enemy. Well, consider what occultist and author Manly P. Hall himself wrote. When the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands, and before he may step onward and upward, he must hereby promise the great spirit Lucifer, prince of demons, that each year he will bring unto him a human soul to do with as he pleases. And in return, Lucifer promises to bestow upon him the treasures of this earth and fulfill his every desire for the length of his natural life, if I fail to bring Lucifer each year the offering specified, then my own soul shall be forfeit to him. The invocant signs the pact with his own blood. And let's hear what Albert Pike, a 33rd degree Freemason and author of The Evil Morals and Dogma, pretty much the Freemason Bible.
And I've talked about Albert Pike before, right? Last week I talked about, you know, the taking down statues of the evil rebellious Confederate Army, Robert E. Lee, and all those folks. However, Albert Pike, to this day, still has a statue erected of him in Washington, D.C. Fact.
Bible. Lucifer the light bearer, strange and mysterious, the son of the morning, he bears it, its splendor, intolerable blinds, feeble, sensual, selfish souls. It's the instrument of liberty or free will. They represent this for us. Under the mythological and horned form of the god Pan, a.k.a. Baphomet, the he-goat of the Sabbat, brother of the ancient serpent and the light-bearer of Phosphor, of which the poets have made the false Lucifer of the legend. The true name of Satan, the Kabbalists say, is Yahweh. It's God reversed. For Satan is not a black god, but a negation of God. The Kabbalah imagines him to be a most occult light. Freemasonry, I can tell you, has been proved beyond the shadow of a doubt to be satanic to the core. I've taken a lot of stuff out of Masonic books that have been published by Masonic publishing companies, and I've read a lot of teachings too, by the way. Albert Pike's bold assertion in Morals and Dogma that Masonry is identical to the ancient mysteries, which means that all their teachings in all their books are precisely the same as the ancient pagan satanic mysteries. That's page 624 of Teachings of the 28th Degree. It's conclusively proven that Freemasonry is actually a worship of Lucifer, the light bearer. Of course, since Lucifer and Satan are biblically the same person, Freemasonry is the worship of Satan. When the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands, and before he steps forward, onward and upward, he must follow in the footsteps of his forefather, Tubal Cain, with the mighty strength of the war god hammered his sword into a plowshare. That comes straight out of Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree, the lost keys of Freemasonry. That comes straight out of there. Manly P. Hall admits throughout this that Masonry is the craft, the old name for witchcraft, that all Satanists are assured that if they will join the coven and learn the craft, then they'll control the supernatural power of Satan, just as Manly P. Hall is promising there. And it goes on and on about revelations of Tubal Cain. You guys can look that up. In fact, in the third degree of Master Mason, Tubal Cain is the password given. If you read Morals and Dogma or any writings by either one of Manly P. Hall or Albert Pike, and the symbolism, you would know that this is major deep satanic occult. And as you look closely at the Baphomet, which is a big symbol of theirs, you see the emphasis is on sex, as this being is androgynous, both male and female. Where do you think the transgendered agenda comes from? It has the breasts of a woman and the erect...
I was going to jump right in that. And I, when I did the week series on... Islam being the religion of Satan, I included that as well in that material. That's where all this transgender business comes from. Jehovah God is the ultimate creator. He is not a man. He is not a woman. He is the all-encompassing entity. The only part of the Trinity, if you want to talk about the Trinity, that had a gender was Jesus Christ, came as a man. But God, Jehovah, the Almighty, El Shaddai, doesn't have a gender. Okay? So, but these satanic pagan gods obviously did. And they worshiped the phallic symbol, they worshiped the chalice, which is the, you know, the inverted triangular vagina. section of the woman. So that's where all of this is coming from, folks. You have to look at the root, the whys and the wheres and the hows. We continue.
Phallus. In fact, two serpents are often shown coiled around the erect phallus. Need I say more? The being that has the head of the horned god, Pan the horned god, another name for Baphomet, another name for Satan. Masonic and occult symbols illustrated, Dr. Burns says, the caption states that he is the horned god of the witches, symbol of sex incarnate. And if you look carefully, you can see the Baphomet making the sign of the devil's triad with his right hand. Baphomet is also known as the Sabbataic goat, in whose form Satan is to be worshipped at the witch's Sabbath. And that is out of Frank Gehner's Dictionary of Mysticism, 1953. And then, of course, we know that the Baphomet is usually approved as the symbol of the Church of Satan. And, of course, Albert Pike linked Baphomet with the goat of Mendes. Obviously, very satanic symbol. The pentagram used by the Eastern Star, which is also used for Star of David, the Eastern Star, which is the Freemason symbol. And back to Madame Blavatsky, the founder of the House of Theosophy, whose books were all written by her demonic guiding spirit in a form that's called automatic writing. I talk about this also in Green Gospel, very similar to Alice Bailey, who wrote the 25 plus volumes of the occult. Very similar. Anyway, Blavatsky ties Thoth and Hermes together. Hermes, the god of wisdom, also called Thoth. They're interchangeable. Saturn, Set, Thoth, it's all the same. In her book, Isis Unveiled, Volume 1, Blavatsky talks about Set and Thoth, Hermes, the god of wisdom. She talks about the first Hermes was the intelligence of the word of God, moved with compassion for a race living without law. God sent to man Osiris and Isis, accompanied by Thoth, the incarnation or terrestrial repetition of the first Hermes, who taught men the arts, science, alchemy, and the ceremonies of religion, and then ascended to heaven or the moon. And you know what I find highly interesting? That Blavatsky, like Anton LaVey in the Satanic Bible, had no trouble trying the infernal name Thoth with Satan. Remember Pike's words that Masonry is identical to the ancient mysteries. This statement means that the Freemasons believe the ancient mysteries and worship the same god, Satan, albeit under different names. Even Islam worships the moon god. Look at their flag. So it's not really surprising we can see all these helly, weird minions that are following all these weird occultic mystery religions, such as Freemasonry. They follow Aleister Crowley, has had such widespread influence on this counterculture turns of the 20th century as this Cambridge-educated occultist. And of course, we talked earlier about the inventor of the religion of Thelema, Aleister Crowley. According to Crowley, he isn't finished yet either. He said 1,000 years from now, and this is what he wrote, the world would be sitting in the sunset of Crowleyanity. The self-aggrandizing Crowley called himself the Great Beast 666. Like I said, he had many influences on Walt Disney, and he had many other tongue-in-cheek apocalyptic titles as well. The British press dubbed him the wickedest man in the world. Also, the title of a documentary, a four-part BBC series on the famously sinister figure. They called him the Master of Darkness. And he's probably most famous for his dictum, do what thou wilt. In one book, we're told by the author that Crowley was a black...
See, do what thou wilt. You see, there's your situational ethics. There's your no right and wrong. There's your 50 Shades of Grey. I'm sorry. There is clear morality. There is clear ethics. There is clear integrity. There is right and wrong. And there is black and white. And that's all there is to it. This gray area business allows you no accountability. No accountability for the people that you hurt. It's all about your gain. That's the root of it. It's your gain. It's your greed. It's your power. And that's what Satan is all about.
magician, a drug fiend, sex addict, and traitor to the British people. His creepy Faustian sex magic weirdness and his practices derive from a synthesis, a real cornucopia of Eastern religions and ancient demonology, really produced a very strange, eclectic mishmash. He traveled the world conducting black magic rituals, writing textbooks on magic, founding esoteric orders, and interacting with some of the most significant artists and occult thinkers of his time. As a poet, he actually published some of the most scandalous verses yet printed under the name of George Archibald Bishop in 1898. And during his brief sojourn into the occult society, Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, he exerted some influence on William Butler Yeats. And it's even possible that Crowley may have inspired the rough beast of Yeats, The Second Coming. He's indirectly connected to the development of the jet propulsion system through his American protege, rocket scientist Jack Parsons. And guess who else he was involved with? Parsons' partner in magic and later betrayer, the king of Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard. Crowley rubbed elbows with, of course, Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World. And after his death in 1947, his life and thought played a role in the work of people such as William S. Burroughs, the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones, David Bowie, Ozzy Osbourne, Timothy Leary, and countless others. Crowley pops up in Hemingway's A Movable Feast as well, and he's inspired a number of other literary characters in, for example, the magician in Christopher Isherwood's A Visit to Anselm Oaks. Because of Crowley's sexual rituals, drug consumption, and black magic dabblings, he, by the way, introduced the letter K at the end of magic to differentiate it from the entertainment kind. He was maligned and heavily criticized by the press during his lifetime, but declassified documents have since surfaced that the great Beast 666 actually led a double life. What did he do? Apparently he had ties with the British government and worked with the British intelligence and high-ranking members of the United States government. Crowley also became a high-ranking Freemason, joining several lodges and acquiring several Masonic degrees he talks about in his autobiography. And he also talked about his Kabbalistic knowledge, which was quite already profound before he reached the 33rd Scottish Rite in Mexico. Of course, Crowley, the Book of the Law, the Thelema, and was the high priest for a new religion that came called the Age of Horus, where he talks about himself being reincarnated as the god Horus presiding for the next 2,000 years over the evolution of the consciousness of the planet. Well, it was very similar to Alice.
The incoming president of France, that weirdo Macron, Alex Jones reported yesterday on Infowars.com that he wants to rule France like a Roman god. And folks, France, and Paris especially, has a huge history in the pagan satanic occult. So the French people really blew it there. And I don't really see a good future for France under this whack job Macron.
Alien Helena Blavatsky, he was often channeled too by a demon named Awaz. He gave him insight into Thelema and the magic of obelisks. Crowley and his protege Kenneth Grant, who also inspired some of today's Hollywood, said that Thelema would describe the spirit of the next 2,000 years. Listen to what he says here. In the Aeon of Horus, the dualistic approach to religion will be transcended through the abolition of the present notion of a god external to oneself. The two will be united. Man will no longer worship God as an external factor, as in paganism, or as an internal state of consciousness, as in Christianity, but will realize his identity with God. The new Aeon of Horus, based on the union of the male and female polarities, will involve the magical use of semen and ecstasy, culminating in an apotheosis of matter in the realization of the old Gnostic notion, there's Gnosticism, is not dual but with one spirit. The old Gnostic notion that matter is not dual but one with the spirit, symbolized by the androgynous Baphomet of the Templars and the Illuminati. That's on page 9 of the Book of the Law. And unlike most historical figures who lose their relevancy as the years go by, Crowley's influence is steadily increasing. The world's elite, predominated by Illuminist values, are in perfect accord with Crowley's thelema. You see it again with Kate.
I just want to say that it's alleged that the Templar Knights worshipped Baphomet and were satanic. You have to understand, the Templar Knights started out, they created the first international banking system real quick. You wanted to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land from Italy, okay? So you went, and of course, you didn't have paper money, you didn't have checks, you didn't have a Visa card, you had gold. So the Templar Knights protected the Christians for going from Europe to the Holy Land in Judah and Samaria at the time, Palestine, which the Romans called that land. So they created outposts so that you can deposit your gold, only carry some of it to get you to through the next outpost, and you'd be given a slip of paper, a parchment at that time, showing your total amount, so that when you go to the next outpost, you can draw more money on down the line till you get to your destination. The Templar Knights became very, very monetarily successful because of that. And what happened was, the Roman Catholic Church became indebted to the Templar Knights. You know, money is power. So the Pope, at that time, decided to vilify the Templar Knights as something being very evil, and that's why we have the Friday the 13th scenario, because on Friday the 13th, I forget the year, the Pope put out a worldwide bounty, and some survived, but basically the Templar Knights were destroyed. But they were destroyed, folks, because the Pope, the Catholic Church, owed them money, and they were getting too powerful. And part of the framework, or framing the Templar Knights, was this accusation that they worshipped Baphomet, this evil symbol of Satan, as you're being educated on now. So as far as I'm concerned, it's alleged. I'm not sure if for a fact that they were devil worshippers, but they were certainly accused, and they were burned at the stake as well.
Katy Perry, Bon Appetit. You see it in Marinka Abramovic's art. You see it in her rituals. Crowley's vision of a new eon also coincides with the Illuminists' age-old plan for a secular new world order ruled by an enlightened elite. The wording might be different, but the hermetic philosophical background is just the same.
You see, that's your Genesis 3:22. Prophecy is that Jehovah removed Adam and Eve, but it's literal or allegorical, doesn't matter, from the Garden of Eden, and put angelic guards around the Tree of Life so that they could not live forever, knowing good and evil. And the ultimate goal of the New World Order is to expunge, also known as destroy, all spirituality on this planet. We all have a target on our back. Right now, of course, the Christians have the biggest one, and I explained that earlier. They want to be your ultimate God. They want a spiritual-less planet. That is their goal. They will be your God. They will decide everything. Your morality, your ethics, how you live, how long you live, if you live. That is the ultimate goal. And that you are not special. You are there, if you're alive, to do their bidding. You will be in servitude to man. That is their goal.
You could say that Crowley and the establishment see eye to eye on the subject, and this eye is the eye of Horus. Masonic and Illuminati imagery, indeed that which is taken, and this goes right back to the occult symbols that are so popular in the movie and music industry. Mind control, MKUltra, testing various mind control techniques behind government closed doors using drugs and forms of torture. Oh, yes. In fact, in 1979, ABC's News Close-Up devoted an entire program to exposing the CIA's involvement. And I haven't really even scratched the surface of this yet. You'd have to wonder what the public reaction would be to satanic rituals in the Grammys or the Super Bowl, or Netflix episodes about cannibalism, or a video from Katy Perry on torture. 10 years ago, such suggestions would have seemed absolutely outrageous. Our parents and grandparents would have took to the streets over stuff like this. They would have descended on our leaders like a swarm of mad locusts, but you know what? Today, given the current trends, even the church doesn't bat an eye over this stuff. They don't even bat an eye over the sexualization of our children, particularly young girls who watch these Katy Perry videos. Satanism, occultism, Thelema, spirit cooking, MKUltra, pedophilia is the order of the day in Pizzagate, and no one bats an eye and the media won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. This is a growing epidemic, folks. The time for silence is over. Please do like and share this video and make sure you are subscribed on my YouTube channel. Thank you for taking the time out to watch this video. And make sure you comment below. And don't forget to watch the Disney Deception and Gods in Spandex, as I chronicle a lot more of the ancient deities that were talked about in this film as well. You can also send me an email at weekendvigilante@gmail.com. For more great videos, you can also bookmark my website and how to listen to my show at weekendvigilante.com. We'll see you next time.
That was a very, very... I urge you to watch the video. Obviously, when you get a visualization with the audio, it's even much more powerful than here on a podcast. But what she said speaks for itself. I have read and read many of the writings of these people and other sources. This is some serious stuff, folks. And obviously, I've run into overtime. I do want to conclude with the song Bulletproof. And when you are with the cross, when you're truly with the body of Christ, you are bulletproof. You're spiritually body-proof, regardless. And the song touches on that. Regardless of what happens to our earthly bodies, our souls are intact. These people are scum, what this woman was talking about. Pure evil scum. And all of you people that subscribe to this stuff in small ways or large ways, you're in it. You are opposite of the cross. You are part of that Antichrist energy. That's all there is to it. So I'm going to end the show with Bulletproof. We're going to do part two tomorrow. There's going to be carryover. I want to play the second clip. I want to read the article about the Vatican, what happened involving the Catholic elites, one of the Pope's advisors. And then I didn't get to discuss the Islamic list of killing. There was a huge, huge amount of killing yesterday. Actually, on the 4th of July in Iraq, I'll just read this one. It wasn't on the list yet, or I doubt I read this yesterday. 200 people were killed in Tel Afar, Iraq. Women and children are among 200 ethnic minorities summarily executed by the Islamic State. You see, it's blood, it's death, blood, death, child sacrifice, killing women, killing children. It's all tied in, folks. As the lady mentioned here in the clip about the moon god, Sin is his name, apropos. It's all tied in, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what we're up against. But we can be. We grab that cross. We believe in Jesus Christ. We can be spiritually bulletproof. proof. My name is Michael B. This is The Truth Zone. See you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central. Here's Citizen Way.
Shoot me down, 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 down. Now I'm bulletproof because of you, because of you. And now I'm bulletproof because of you, because of you. You love me away. Now I'm not afraid. No matter what the world may say or what they do. Control. My soul is untouchable because you've already won me. My victory is not in this flesh and bone. It's in the cross and I know nobody's taking it from me. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt. Can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt. Gonna shoot me down, 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 down.
Bulletproof, baby. We're bulletproof.